age catches up with you, you know, the eyes sort of start doing funny things. And so a pulpit that size, you know, my bifocals just don't focus quite good enough. So I'll just use those and or use this, and it'll help me a lot. I appreciate, again, you inviting me back to share a message this morning. My name is Pastor Bill Case, and I'm not currently pastoring. I have pastored almost 40 years in the Church of the United Brethren in Christ, a small little denomination based in Pennsylvania mostly. Our headquarters are in Huntington, Indiana, but actually has a Mennonite background. The founder of the Church of the United Brethren in Christ was a man named Martin Bain. He was a little Mennonite guy, and back in the 1800s, when the Great Revival spread across America, he had a barn meeting, they called, which was like an evangelistic meeting. And he preached, and then another preacher preached who was a German Reformer, a big guy, Martin. His name was Otterbein. And so William Otterbein and Martin Bain, this little Mennonite guy and this great big Reformed, German Reformed guy, and they hugged each other after the service, and many people were saved during the service. And they both spoke in German, of course. And they said, "We are brethren." So that's how that denomination came about. But a little bit of Mennonite background there. But mostly, I've been doing pulpit supply lately. I have a secular job. I work at the M&W Countertops in Grayville. So I make countertops is what I do. Manufacture them and make them. And I enjoy that. But what I really enjoy doing is preaching the Word of God and sharing the Word of God. And that's what I want to do with you today. My message is simply, what does the cross say to us today? The cross, what does it say to us today? Before we get into it, I always need God's help preaching. So let's pray together and ask God to give us ears to hear and me a voice to speak. All right, let's pray. God, may you be honored, lifted up, glorified, magnified today in a wonderful way. And may we understand what the cross says to us. Redemption and love and so much more. But let its message speak through my words today, through my lips. And so just take these bumbling words of mine and let them make sense to all of us today, I pray, so that you'd be lifted up and your people would be edified and built up and just stand firm in this day and age. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I really applaud the Fairhaven Church for being a multi-ethnic, diverse congregation. My heart is so burdened with what's happening in America today and the hatred that's tearing us apart. And I want to be a part of the healing of that, not the tearing down of that. So my message today is to overcome that hatred. I love what Dr. King said. So many good things. He said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too big of a burden to bear. And that's sort of where I want to be at. I want to be a reconciling agent, because the cross reconciles people. When people come to the cross knows no economic barriers or cultural barriers or skin color. You see, we all are saved by the same blood, and that's by Jesus Christ. So I want to share with you this message because I know the cross means different things to different people. How many of you have ever seen a piece of cross jewelry? I work with a man who wears a big cross, you know, and I don't know his religious background at all. He's sort of a wild guy, and I'm sort of glad he has a cross there, but he's got this big old cross. How many of you have seen somebody wearing a piece of cross jewelry, and you said to yourself, I wonder if they know what it means, that cross that they hang there in front. And not excluding Madonna and Elton John videos, because they got the big crosses on them, if you've ever seen them. Have you ever wondered why they're wearing a cross? Which raises some questions, like, Do I know what it means? The cross. And is there something about the cross that I've missed? So I ask, what does the cross mean tomorrow? And what does it mean Monday when you go to school? What does the cross mean when you're driving your car? What does it mean when you're on an athletic field or a court? Or what does it mean when you meet somebody that you've had a bad exchange with and there's some weird blood there between you? What does the cross mean then? Because for most Christians, the cross simply means that, well, I've accepted Jesus. Jesus died for my sins and I'm going to heaven. And I praise the Lord for that, because that is the central meaning of the cross. It's a reconciliation between God and myself, because I was a sinner, but the cross brought my sins there and they were forgiven and redeemed. So I understand that and I praise the Lord for that. But my question is, what does it mean, not because I'm going to get to heaven, but what does it mean tomorrow? And what does the cross mean 2 hours from now? Or what does it mean next Monday? What else is God saying to us through the cross? So, to begin with, let's recall some of the things that Jesus did the last week of his life leading up to the cross. Okay, and we'll use some Bible verses to do this. First of all, Matthew 26:14. Let's lead up. This is the Judas's betrayal. And it says, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And then in Matthew chapter 26, this is Peter's assurance. Jesus told them, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead unto you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the disciples, they agreed and said the same thing. Then a little later in the night, the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. And others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you? Well, now, Peter denies Jesus. And after and this is the account in the courtyard shortly after. Now, Peter was sitting in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. He denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And he went to the gateway, and there another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them because your accent gives you away. You know, he was a Galilean, came from a different district. You know, they knew his accent. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Peter went from here, and then on the cross, of course, they released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed them over to be crucified, handed Jesus over. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, twisted together a crown of thorns, set it on his head, put a staff in his right hand, and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes back on, and then they led him away to crucify him. The torture goes on from here. In the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others. He can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross. And we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. So let's, everything we've read, let's make a list of everything that Jesus went through, okay? He's betrayed, he's doubted, he's deserted, he's denied, he's spit on, struck in the face with fists, his beard is plucked out, according to Isaiah, he's mocked, he's stripped naked, insulted, beaten, whipped, falsely accused, convicted wrongly, by the way. He's humiliated, scorned, pierced, rejected, bruised, cursed at, made fun of. He's hated, stared at, nailed to rough wooden timbers, left naked to die, and killed. So, in spite of all that, the question remains, what was Jesus' response to everything that was done to him? What did he, with all this hatred, what was his response? Luke 23, verse 32, gives us his first response. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's one response. Then another response with the criminals hanging there. They hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since you're under the same sentence, we're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. And then the last response that we read from Jesus on the cross. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, which was John, by the way, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So his response so far is forgiveness. It's invitation. It's caring. Make sure my mom is okay. John, take care of her. Love her. And then in John 21, after the crucifixion, all the disciples deserted him. And they went back to the only thing they knew how to do, and that was fish. So, but it ain't going too well. They're not catching anything. So Jesus comes along. They don't know yet who it is. Jesus comes along, and early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to. Every fish in the Sea of Galilee jumped in the boat at that time, you know, but jumped in the nets. And they had a full net. They couldn't even haul it in, it says, because of the large number of fish. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. So Jesus comes along. They knew it was him, maybe by the way he cooked the fish. I'm not really sure. But they understood this was definitely the Savior. We picture Jesus coming down. I can imagine what they're all thinking. Uh-oh, we're going to get it now. He's going to really give it to us because we denied us. He's going to say, you guys all denied us, deserted us. Now it's time to even the score. Jesus didn't say that. What did he say? Hey, guys, want to have some breakfast? And he feeds them. And then a little couple of verses later in verse 15, he asked Simon Peter, who had denied him, cursed himself. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter answered three times, and Jesus wanted him to answer three times, just to confirm it with his heart. Jesus knew he loved him. He knew he failed him. And Peter said, yes, Lord, I do. And then Jesus told him this. He said, Peter, I've got some work for you to do. Feed my sheep. I know that you denied me. I know that you're a chicken. I know that. That's okay. You're going to get braver through all this. Feed my sheep. I need you to take care of my people. That's what he said. So Jesus' response to everything that's done to him so far, friends, up to this point, if you can bottle up all that hatred that was put on him and then understand his response, it is forgiveness, it's invitation, it's caring for others, take care of my mother, it's reinstating and reinstalling a fallen brother, Peter, I got some work for you to do yet. You're not done yet with, and I'm not done with you. So Jesus had some choices about how he would respond to everything that was done to him. Would he respond with evil? Would he spit back at them, pick up a club, fight? Or would he respond with something else? And in every instance, Jesus responds with love. He never responds with the evil that's done to him. He never mocks back. The Bible says he's tempted in all the ways that we were, but he doesn't give in. So he's given choices about the things that were done to him and how he would respond back. And then a couple days later, he rises from the dead, which no one had ever done before. And guess what? Through the resurrection, Jesus shows that through the cross, he wins. He wins. Now, listen to what John said in John 16:33. John said, Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, I'll win. I win. I've done it. Rose from the dead. Loved all the way through it. I did it. Never once did he snarl back at them. Never once did he spit back. Never once did he mock them back. Never once did he show any kind of hatred to them. He never said, just give me time, guys. I'm going to get you back. I've got lots of time. I'm going to even the score. Never once did he do that. Never once did he give an obscene gesture to them on the cross. Never once did he speak with evil back to them. Which tells me a couple things about the cross and what Jesus did for us. If the cross is just to keep you out of heaven and keep you into heaven and keep you out of hell, then you've missed one of the real significances of the cross. Listen, the cross is God's way of telling us that evil is always overcome by love. Listen what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, if you want to win, you win by loving, is what he's saying. So when somebody says, so-and-so, they really got me, they really paid me dirt, but I'll get revenge, I'll get even with them, you lose. You don't overcome, do you? Because you overcome evil with love, with good. Every day you're faced with choices, I'm faced with choices, of how I'm going to respond to evil, to betrayals, to mockings, to beatings. Just being a believer today brings its own kind of mockings. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic and you say, I'll get even with them. I'll pull ahead of them and then I'll slow down. That'll show them. They'll just pull over to the side of the road and they'll weep with repentance. Or the spouse says something to you that really cuts And so you're thinking all day, how can I get back at him or her? Maybe I'll just bring up the old girlfriend or boyfriend, or maybe I'll just bring up the former employee. That'll really get back at them. Now listen to what Colossians 2:15 says. I love this verse. Paul says this, the author. Paul says about Jesus, he says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So if you can do the worst of everything to Jesus, mock him, beat him, crucify him, but he still lives, who wins? I mean, Jesus said, you killed me. That's the worst you can do to somebody. But I'm alive. I'm cooking fish on the beach here with my bros. I'm alive. You can do all the worst possible to this Jesus, but he still lives and he wins. And friends, this is still true today. And that's what Paul meant. The powers of Romans thought that we killed him. We win. But Paul says, no, Jesus made a spectacle of them by overcoming them by the cross, is what he's saying. So the powers that appear to be winning lose, and the person who wins losing. So if you were to keep a box score of this between the Romans and Jesus, the score would look like this. Jesus nothing, Romans 1. But the powers that appear to be winning lose, and the person who appears to be losing, Jesus, he wins. He overcomes. So you're at the water cooler and you're a person of faith, you're a believer, and they're putting their jabs in you because they don't believe in God, but you're a Christian and you're standing up for your faith, and you're apparently losing according to the scorecard anyway, because you're a free Christian. It appears that evil is losing or winning, and it appears that evil is winning and love is losing. But the essence of the cross is, to the person who appears to be losing, if you're walking with God, if you're a child of God, you win. You're the winner. Listen now, closely to this, church, because here's the answer to the question. The cross is saying, the answer to the question that I posed to you at first, what is the cross saying to us today? Let me go back to this. The powers that appear to be winning lose, and the person who appears to be losing as a faith person wins. So what I'm saying today is the cross is God's way of saying love wins. That's what the cross says. And I know what you're saying. Well, but you don't know what they said to me. I know what they said to you. I know what they did to you. But listen, love wins. I know they abused you. I know they hurt you. And you can respond in many ways to that. But let me tell you this. Love is what wins. The cross is God's saying, ultimately, love wins all the time. So you're in traffic. When you're in traffic, love wins. Not honk, 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 an obscene gesture. No. Love is the victor. Always is. That's what the cross says. I mean, Jesus showed it. I mean, what else can you do to Jesus? You killed him, but he rises. When you're coming down the hall at school and you're coming to a collection of lockers and you're very many students, you know, I'm talking to students here, but, you know, students especially in school, it's tough in school today to be a believer, to be a faith person. You know, and they're going to talk about you, about the way to dress, anything to hurt you because you walk with Jesus. Love wins. No matter what is done to us, no matter what, love wins. I have to ask, do you really believe that? Do you believe the cross conquers everything? The cross is a daily display of God's grace in my life. It's constantly showing me that whatever situation I'm in, love wins. It wins Monday with the person two cubicles over, or the classmate three desks over who is a contestant for the most annoying person in the world. Love wins. And you have choices about how you're going to respond to that. It wins at the next family reunion. Now that's preaching today there, because that's where the rubber hits the road right there. You got to get down in the trenches with Jesus when you're at a family reunion and you're determined to let love win in your life. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, the verse that sticks out in my mind so much is this: love never fails. Never fails. It never, never, never fails. It can't. It's right up there. It's a new law written right up there with gravity and the second law of thermodynamics. Love wins. I put it up here. It's on my chart anyway. You thought gravity is a law and second law of thermodynamics, and love wins also. And now I know what you're thinking, but you're thinking, but you don't understand my parents. Yeah. Yeah, we do, and love still wins with them. And you don't understand my past, Pastor. Yeah, we do, and love still wins. You don't understand my 16-year-old kid. Well, yeah, we don't. Okay, I admit that. We probably don't. But love wins. You don't understand my husband, Pastor Bill. You don't understand my wife. You don't understand my neighbor. You don't understand my neighborhood. Yeah, we do. And love still wins. It does. I don't know about you, but I need reminders about this all the time. About this. How can I be reminded of this daily? And that's what I have to ask myself, because you will get every day. You will get it. All kinds of just junk coming at you about what kind of choice you're going to make. Are you going to win? Are you going to cross over to evil and respond with evil and all the stuff and the junk that Jesus was confronted with? Are you going to respond with that and be a loser? I want to win, because the cross has already showed me I can win with love. So I need a reminder of this. I need this in my home. I need this. I need this on my forehead. I need this in my car. I need a tattoo of this. I need to see it on a tattoo of you. I don't necessarily need it on the bumper of my car. I need to see this on the bumper of the car in front of me to remind me. I need to see it. I don't necessarily need it on my desk. I need to see it on the desk of another person to remind me of that, right? So what I'd like to see within these walls of this church, of this congregation, and you are doing just a good job of trying to be a diverse, multi-ethnic congregation that has a lot of junk, you know, around surrounding us in America. What I'd like to see when you're down in the trenches of life, I'd like to see this: love wins. And to me, it's one of the central meanings of the cross. It's God. And so I've come up with this little way of doing this that I'm going to share with you this morning. You're going to get slapped. You're going to get spit on. You're going to get criticized. And even people who you think are your friends are sometimes, they're going to sometimes just disown you. They're going to, they're also sometimes just going to cross you the wrong way. You're going to get criticized. Even the people that you think love you aren't always going to love you like you need them to. And it's at those key moments, those times that I need a reminder. I need a message from the cross that so that I can understand that love wins. And that's how I need to respond. You need to speak this to each other. You need to call this on your friends. And the best way I know is I just made a bunch of stickers, a bumper stickers. I don't need to go on bumpers, but that's what they call them. I just made a bunch of these, and I want to give these to you as reminders so that everyone, if you can pass these around to the back, just pass these out. You can put these wherever you want. You can put these in a locker. You can put these on a folder. You can put these, I've got a bunch of extras here. You can put these I've left some extras with you because I know you're a congregation that is committed to love. And this is what, to me, you can take these, you can call up a person on the phone and say, hey, love wins, and hang up. It's called a spiritual crank call. It's okay, you can do that. Okay? Jesus did it. He responded all the way. All the way through. And on the cross, with everything that was thrown at him, he overcame by love. And he won. And evil loses. And hate loses. And that's what Paul meant when Paul said that the cross has overcome the principalities of this world and made a spectacle of them. As believers, we make a spectacle of hatred because we love. He did it all the way through. And now His Spirit, if you're a believer this morning, lives inside of you. And you have choices to make. Are you going to win or are you going to lose? So to be reminded this of a daily basis, with all the brokenness and hurt that's in the world, that Jesus Christ at the cross shouts to me, love wins. So it's a small way, but it works. And I've always made fun of bumper stickers because, you know, they're always sort of cheesy, but you don't have to put this on your bumper. So I've had these made up, and I want every one of you today to own them, to have a place somewhere conspicuous for not just others to see, but for you to be reminded also. Because I believe love is the honey that attracts the nasty, stinging bee and puts it to rest. And it's time we had just a good old-fashioned baptism of love in God's people across churches in America. I believe it's the only thing that will heal America. It just burdens my heart. It grieves my heart what's happening in our country between race, between culture. And it shouldn't happen in the church. The most reconciling community on this planet to bring peace out of hate and love out of disharmony is the Church of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ, which pulls us constantly to the love that Christ showed that is the victor in the end. Friends, if you're a person of love, you win. You win. That's the choice we make. Let's pray. God, it's a tough, tough choice. We will be confronted tomorrow. And the enemy will try to convince us that getting even, getting back, not love, is the way to climb the ladder. But God, You showed us the way to win. And it's through love. So God, help us to apply this in our relationships with those that we don't get along with. Lord, I know there's people out there that we just try and we can't get along with. But love is the key if we stay at it. And it is the victor in the end. Thank You, God, for the opportunity I can share with Your people here and bless this church. And I pray that they would be a lighthouse in the community of love to draw people of all colors, all nationalities, all income, God, whatever it is, that God, people will see the cross and the love of the cross through them. In Jesus' name I ask this and pray. Amen. Thank you for sharing with me today, friends. Oh, by the way, did I get to the last one? Yeah, let's make sure we get to that last one then. Okay. Dwayne, it's all yours. And if there's any extra bumper stickers, keep them. You know, pass them around, put them out back, or just use them. Okay?